Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
Oof, and I'm doing my best to be positive, Chuck Mockler.
And we are just your friendly neighborhood Clippers podcast, a couple of best friends and Clipper credential media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Yeah, 7 a.m. drops, all your favorite podcast platforms, but on one of them, if you review us, you'll be entered into a raffle to win a 1 of 20 limited Batum Battalion t-shirt designed by Eddie Malden. So get those reviews and we'd really appreciate it.
It's kind of with heavy heads that we come to this podcast today. Obviously, we got to kick this thing off talking about Paul George and Kawhi have entered health and safety protocols.
Yep.
So it's definitely going to change what this
road trip's
going to
be a little
like.
Different.
Charles might change his prediction from the 4-2 that he projected on yesterday's episode.
Yeah.
Man, things really come at
things,
you quick.
Yeah, man. Life came, life came at the Clippers pretty fast today.
It's also Twitter Tuesday, my favorite day of the week. Every single Monday, we put out a prompt that's at Locked On Clips.
Oh, yeah.
Want to know what your questions are, what you're thinking about this team. We love to interact. So we got some great questions. Thank you, everybody, who sent those in ahead of time. And then we've got to talk about Ty Lue's possibility for becoming the coach of the year.
Yeah, it's up there.
It seems like an uphill battle, and I think that it does depend on one very important thing, which we'll talk about.
For sure.
And then we got some shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up everything else going around. We got to talk about the possibility of an all-star game, and then just whatever else comes up.
Oh, yeah.
So all that and more coming at you right now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes. So welcome to the PG and Kawhi COVID talking / Twitter Tuesday that might bleed in the second segment. So yeah, the timeline for this, for Kawhi and PG's absences, is still a little murky. They're not with the team, so they're not joining the team in Atlanta because of the health and safety protocols. Farbod, fantastic Clippers reporter, reporting that they could be out until the end of this week, possibly. They're kind of, that's what the team is kind of assuming right now, which is about three games. So don't really know how those are going to look. Patrick we hope they're safe. I hope that's we don't know the extent of this. We don't know if it was a positive.
Yeah, or if it was a situation where, because now there's the rules regarding people in your family or party who are also getting tested.
Yeah.
Obviously, if there's a positive on one of those, you enter the health and safety protocols. But in any case, we will most likely be without Kawhi and Paul George for what, at least three of these six games.
Yeah, which is going to be Hawks, Heat, Magic. But,
yes.
You know, we hope they're safe. Just a tough lot. I mean, this is something every team has to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Lue's talked about it. We just got to adapt, Clippers fans. Time for Luke Kennard to really step up. We talked about that on last episode. Maybe that'll happen now. Patrick Beverley also announced out already. They announced that on Monday with right knee soreness. How worried are we about Bev's knee?
Well, this is the same knee that there was like the meniscus fracture and the whole deal that went on with that. Obviously kept him out of the 17-18 season. So, I mean,
it's just labeled as soreness, which is good.
Yeah. I would say who knows. I mean, I certainly, at this point, it's like far enough away from the surgery that I wouldn't think.
Oh, yeah. I'm not really worried about that. I think it's just maybe a maintenance thing.
Yeah.
This just happens, maybe.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's just kind of a maintenance thing, but you know, it does definitely merit the conversation that, like, a lot of our guards are pretty old.
Yeah, we have two young guys.
Yep.
We have Terrence Mann and Luke Kennard, who are young.
And Reggie is young.
Reggie's young. All of them also, at least Luke Kennard for sure. Not so much Reggie and Terrence. I take that back. Luke Kennard also, though, little kind of injury susceptible.
Yeah, Kennard a little injury prone. And, you know, Mann and Reggie, questionably playable.
Very true. We hope everything works out with that. It's going to be a very interesting road trip. We got a question to kick off Twitter Tuesday from someone who asked us this before the news broke. They asked how many at World Be Expensive, which just a hats off for a great Twitter handle right there.
true.
They asked how many games do you see us winning on the sixth game road trip? Does our streak end on this trip or do we come home with 13 straight W's? Again, this was asked before the Kawhi PG news. But now, so we ought to talk about it in the realness. We're going to talk a little bit about Ty Lue next segment. But I don't know, man. I'm happy with 3-3. Like, 3-3 would be great. We don't know how long these guys are going to be out. Like, I know some of the competition isn't necessarily as stellar as this roster looks like, our roster looks like, and how we've been playing. But a big part of why we've been playing well was two guys who were getting really high usage were putting up MVP numbers.
Yeah, I mean, this is down.
Which isn't bad. I'm not. That's not like a weird knock on anyone else on the team.
This is down three starters. So at the very minimum, our streak comes to the end. It's interesting because, you know, the Heat have not been playing that well. And also the Magic, like, that's our back-to-back, and that was, like, kind of the games that I was worried about.
Yeah.
Just given kind of the short turnaround time and, all the travel involved. They're not unwinnable games. I'm not saying that. I don't know that many teams that can cover for the loss of three starters.
Yeah, especially when two of them are playing at a top five level, both of them.
Definitely.
The league. So that's,
the Hawks might be missing some, you know, they might have
some notable
absences. They
got a crazy injury report, too. They might, like, be at the eight minimum. If all the questionables end up being out for the Hawks, they're going to be pretty damn close to that minimum.
Yeah, and, you know, with the rapidness of sort of the injury protocols and players entering that, I mean, who knows what the – honestly, I wasn't worried about it before, and now it's like, who knows what the next six games look like for our opponents as well.
Yeah, it's murky stuff right now. We got a great question from Chenny John that also came before the news but is very pertinent. He said, I see Pat and Reggie has break glass in case of emergency players. Play when they have to, usually due to injuries. Which one do you trust more and why? Well – I don't think it matters at this point because we're probably going to have to trust both in the upcoming couple of games. Like,
yeah.
Also, I love the break glass in case of emergency players tag.
Yeah.
That's funny.
These are both pretty low trust guys for me.
I trust Reggie more than Pat right now.
Based
off of Reggie coming in kind of being a shot in the arm that one game.
Yeah, look, I think that's absolutely the correct answer. Reggie, I mean, just by virtue as a player, has a much more valued skill set. I mean, other than knocking down open threes, like Pat, I mean, I love him as a person, but like he's not really
great
bringing
guy.
Much else to the table.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Reggie can run with the ball in his hand. It's not my preference, but he can do it.
Can make plays, you know.
Yeah,
like,
he can make plays. He can get to the rim. I mean, he's just a much more versatile player. So of the two, I definitely trust him more, but
yeah.
We'll see, you know, he could actually earn a lot of trust on this road trip for me. So
that's a good call. This is a chance for a lot of guys to step up.
This is a great test of our depth. You know, I think that's been one of the issues that we've kind of swept under the rug really this season.
Yeah.
And we haven't talked about as much is, our bench production is not what we're used to for this team.
Yeah.
Usages
are so much different now.
Yeah, and the usages are so much different. But, hey, I don't know. Maybe we'll see Batum and Morris in the starting lineup. I mean, and then
let's get crazy. Speaking of Morris, at Nick Profit, or Nick_Profit with like two Fs and a couple Ts and a three, said, I just wanted to know your thoughts on whether Marcus Morris should set a target of becoming sixth man of the year this year. Hot take. I don't think he should. Because sixth man of the year is something that requires a bunch of usage to win that award. And I think if Marcus Morris, like if he was putting up those numbers consistently, that'd be great. But I just don't see him. He's more of a team first guy right now. And I'm not saying that sixth man of the year is a selfish award in any way. But the way you have to win it is by scoring the most points on the bench.
Yes.
And playing a bunch of minutes.
Yes.
I don't want him taking the amount of shots you need to take to win sixth man of the year, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, look, he just has to do a lot more than put up numbers on that second unit. And it is, you know, for better or worse, sixth man of the year is traditionally a award that values scoring over overall play. And that has even applied to Clippers players, I do still think that they deserve those awards. But I think that Morris has to do a lot more on that second unit than just put up numbers. It seems like, right now it seems like Jordan Clarkson is kind of in the mix for sixth man of the year. He is going to put up larger scoring numbers and larger assist numbers than Marcus Morris.
And I think it would be
I think it'd be hard for him to win Sixth Man of the Year. Like, if everyone's healthy, it's like that usage is crazy. I don't know. I like where he's at right now. He's in a perfect space. We're going to continue these Twitter Tuesday questions in the next segment. And we're also going to be talking Ty Lue as Coach of the Year, potentially. But first, we got to give a shout out to betonline.ag. I myself just put what I consider to be a hefty sum on the Kansas City Chiefs covering the spread for the Super Bowl.
Way to go, buddy.
$6. I went $4.50. I went a couple
burritos.
Did you
go 250?
I did not go 250. I went $6. No, check out betonline.ag. If you want to bet $6 like me or more money than that, you can there. There's only one place we trust to do it. Like I said, that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus. A lot of weird scores this season. Hope you didn't bet on the Clippers too quick before this on the six-game road streak before all this stuff happened. I would not do that. Watch the spreads for those. Those might be weird. But don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts.
Okay, so we're back, and we're talking Ty Lue, Coach of the Year, question mark?
Maybe. Should we answer some of these questions first?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. There's
Man,
more questions
gotta cut
first.
Cut these people off, my guy. At SZ Bakatoom, I don't know. He's combined Insurgent Zubats, asks, are there still incoming personnel moves for the Clippers? And then related from Mecca G, do you get the sense that Lue's days are numbered? I don't think so. George Hill did have a good audition. I'm not going to pretend like that didn't happen.
Like, once again, if Lue is one of the available guards, this is going to be a stretch for him to, you know, sort of reestablish his role on that second unit. He might even end up with a start. Who knows? I doubt it, but it's possible. His role is just different now. You know, he's certainly taking a lot less attempts. He's less of a huge fixture that we rely on. And that is a good thing. I don't think that that is necessarily indicative of, you know, like a declining skill set so much as it is just a different usage.
That's a good call.
That being said, I mean, like, you know, if he isn't used as much, that could be an indication that, you know, maybe there is a move to be made. You know, certainly the commitment made to Kennard makes me think that, you know, he is definitely more the priority as far as moves are to be made as the season progresses. Certainly getting someone who could cover for him defensively on that second unit in the backcourt, you know, that would be a pretty big add. But I think, you know, I think once again, this six-game road streak just got, you know, more interesting from the standpoint of, like, what the rest of this Clippers depth looks like. That being said, look, yesterday I would have said no. I don't think there were any incoming personnel moves. Now I'm a lot less certain.
Interesting.
It's hard because there's not a lot of moves to be made without strongly shaking things up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a big ass move.
Just looking at our contracts and stuff like that, but you know, who knows, man? This team will always try to catch you with your pants down.
Okay. At Mr. Flakes 11 said, do you think Shea will make us regret getting rid of him? He seems to have superstar potential if steered in the right direction, or will PG get it done by winning a chip with us? I have to say that PG will get it done. It's also PG and Kawhi.
Look,
involved in this trade.
Who knows with Kawhi's free agency? I'm still pretty heavily on the inclined to believe that Kawhi will re-sign with the Clippers. And if that happens, you know, while I will miss Shea from the fact of, like, it's cool to develop someone. I mean, it's maybe cool. It's cooler to develop someone than, you know, trade for someone as a fan for me. But no, this is the best opportunity, the best true opportunity we've ever had at a title shot. And I think that
you got to take it.
I think that, you know, 10 times out of 10, you're probably making that trade
for sure. It's tough, but hey, we'll see what happens.
The accumulation of picks, however,
not good. Yeah.
Could maybe bite us in the ass later on. But that's a problem for tomorrow, Clippers.
Oh yeah. All right, now we're talking Ty Lue, Coach of the Year. This is based off a question from at JDay Every Day. They asked, how much of this great ball movement and life on D can we attribute to Ty Lue and the coaching staff? I feel Batum makes a huge difference for ball movement, and maybe some more vocal leadership from Kawhi on the defensive end could also be possible factors. I think a lot of it's Ty Lue letting guys just play basketball, like just have it. There's a system.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about how there's so many basic things going right for this team that should be happening on all championship teams that just wasn't happening last year.
Mm-hmm.
But having a system, and I say simple from the fact of like a simple, of course you need these. It's not, you know, it's not easy to do, but I think a lot of it's from Ty Lue.
Yeah. So here's the thing, and this ties into the like simple things outside of, you know, his great development of, you know, a new offensive scheme. I think that he's renowned as a player's first coach, but I have been surprised at his management of personalities thus far. And maybe the issue in the locker room truly was one person that's no longer there.
Yeah. Two. Roddy Magruder's also not.
I am not inclined to believe that. I truly think if the issue was just one person, I think we would have gotten something done at the trade deadline or something.
Yeah.
You know, because even a player making that 6 or 8 or whatever Trez was making at the time, the return on that is better than a walk for nothing, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Especially if there's so much friction going on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the way he's managed personalities, I think, has been really great. The way he's got guys communicating, the way he's got guys competing night in and night out is just something that we didn't see last year.
For sure.
We didn't see the same commitment on defense. We didn't see the same we just didn't see the same vigor applied to some regular season
games.
Yeah, no,
man, that's a great line.
And to me, like, that – look, obviously the players are the ones on the court. They're the ones executing. They're the ones doing everything. But I think that a lot of that comes from a coach. And while Doc is no doubt a great motivator, especially when he needs to be, I think that his style is just a little bit...
He's not a disciplinarian.
His style is just a little bit different. And holding players accountable is something that you've heard almost every player talk about in their post-game or pre-game interviews. And just saying how they need that. And I think that Ty Lue is the guy who instills that sort of culture.
Yes. And like Doc has these things, like it's just kind of Doc's way or the highway is what I think it is too. Whereas Ty Lue is like, I don't know if talk it out's right word, but like we know reasons for things.
Yeah.
I guess is what I'm saying.
Another big criticism of Doc, and this has been noted by a lot of players, is while there is a system, sometimes not everyone on the court is aware of what the system is.
That's what
is.
I meant by like Doc's way or the highway, where it's like, well, yeah, players get frustrated with Doc because they don't know what they're doing. And then when it works out, it's great. And it's like, but what when it doesn't work out? Then that player is just scorned? Like Ty Lue has reasons for things.
Yeah. Well, and like I think that was part of the thing too, right? Like I do think Doc works to put guys in positions to succeed. Like I think that is something. But I don't think that he's always giving players the insight into the cog that they are into the larger system.
For sure.
I think that it gets a little bit, you know...
Which is frustrating.
Yeah, it gets a little bit person-to-person faced. And while, you know, it has been successful for Doc, obviously, like, he has a chip.
Got a chip, yeah.
I do think that sort of, like, person-to-person thing and not understanding, you know, the function of the whole, the sum of the parts...
Yeah.
...kind of leads to some of these chemistry issues because guys are like, I know what I'm doing. I'm doing my job.
I don't know what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, I don't necessarily know what
you're
doing.
You don't know how to help them.
Yes.
You can't even cover for them.
Yes,
for
exactly.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good ass question. So could Ty Lue win coach of the year? We got a few minutes left in this segment. Like, I think he's in the top three, but I mean, dude, the Jazz are playing great. We're just talking right now, kind of in a vacuum. If the Clippers end up the number one seed, he's got to get coach of the year.
Yes. They win the number one seed. I mean, they'll clinch the division and
which some of
that's
us
the,
say,
that's the real win. All right.
That's the biggest thing.
I would think he'd have to be in strong running, especially because, you know, media loves a narrative-based kind of a story.
Yeah, is Coach of the Year narrative-based? I don't think so in any way.
Well, it's kind of weird because it almost feels like it's based on previous achievements. Like, if you look...
Yeah, that's a good call.
With the exception of D'Antoni, like, the last 4 out of 5 of the Coach of the Years were kind of awarded the year after they did like, something really
huge. For sure, yeah.
So I think that it's a little bit late. So in that sense, it would make sense. If the Lakers are again top two in the division, I think Vogel will be strongly in the conversation.
For sure.
And yeah, Quinn Snyder's got to be up there with how well the Jazz are playing. Not even despite, I guess to his credit, they have the exact same roster.
Yeah.
The only move they made this offseason was re-signing Derek Favors. Or sorry, they've signed him as a free agent, but like he was on the team previously.
Yeah, exactly. So. It's going to be interesting. I hope he gets it. I just hope he gets some recognition for what he's been doing for the Clippers. Because he's got a bit of an interesting legacy. Coming up, we're going to be talking the possibility of the All-Star game in Atlanta in March, which seems maybe not like the best
ill-advised
idea. But first, Will, auto parts. I might be buying a car that needs a lot of auto parts soon. Where can I get it?
Well, look, I mean, it's really difficult right now with all the numbers of makes and models out there. It's impossible for any physical brick-and-mortar store to carry all the parts you need. So why endure the seemingly intimidating questioning, is your Odyssey an LX? Is it an EX? Is it a PDX? Who knows? And why would you want to wait while the counterman is just ordering the parts on his computer, choosing only the brands that his warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer. You've got access to rockauto.com. Check out rockauto.com. They're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or a daily driver, you can get everything you need delivered directly to your door. Their catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Mm-hmm. You can see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, even the prices you prefer. Best of all, speaking of prices, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
All right, welcome to Shavings, where we're talking just kind of stuff, you know, just around the league and whatnot. We didn't get this to the last segment. Are we kind of excited to see what Ty Lue comes up with for this road trip?
Yeah,
personnel-wise, like this is a chance for him to really tinker, and we can't really be mad at it because whatever he does, it seems out of necessity.
Yeah, I mean, being kind of short-handed in this, it is going to be really interesting to see what kind of lineups he's running with. Obviously, it's even more difficult given the amount of staggering that he's been doing with Kawhi and Paul George.
For sure.
So it'll be cool to see kind of how he can cover the weaknesses inherent in this roster currently. You know,
I'm so excited to see how. I don't even, like, outcomes. Look, I obviously want to win all these games, but if he strikes gold on some weird combination, like, you know, we're playing the Heat, which if they have everybody, that's going to be a great team to see what kind of weird pieces might be effective against, you know, interesting lineups in the zone and stuff like that. So I'm really psyched.
Yeah, I mean, this strikes me as, you know, while, you know, no one wants to drop games, obviously, this strikes me as a low-risk, high-reward kind of scenario for some of those deeper rotations.
Yes.
And maybe, not even maybe, these won't be playoff lineups that we're seeing, but these will be things that we can rely on in the regular season, and it can be a confidence booster for these guys sort of deeper in the roster that should they need, you know, for whatever reason, in the playoffs to contribute. Hopefully, you know, that confidence sticks with them. It can carry through.
Always be ready type stuff, like he talks about with Patterson and all that stuff.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited for Tyler to tinker. But now we got to talk about, there's might be an All-Star game in Atlanta over March. It was tweeted out today.
Yes. So, interesting note about Atlanta.
How's it doing with COVID?
Second highest COVID outbreak level.
That's not good.
So
yeah, there's a meter with dark red, not as dark red. It's in the not as dark red one, but still bad.
Yeah. The danger is as tall as Smokey the Bear, if you
if you're familiar
with fire warnings.
With the fire damage notice. Do we need an All-Star game this year?
I don't.
Some guys aren't even going to be able to play enough games to like be eligible or something weird. Like,
look, there's no like. What is the function of an all-star game, right? It's for the fans. There is no way you can safely have fans in an indoor arena. Like, I just...
For sure.
I just don't see it, especially with, you know, we're still struggling through the health and safety protocols. A lot of teams are. I don't see there being a way to create a safe environment for the players to have fans there. So I guess I'm kind of wondering what the purpose is.
What is the point of this? They can't even high-five each other.
Yeah. And like, look, man, there's already significant risk with having two teams in an arena. Obviously, you know, they have contact with each other through practice facilities, on court stuff.
Yeah.
But bringing that many people
to Atlanta, a city that, if you've seen videos of people in clubs and stuff, there's no mat. Like,
lot of activities. Lot of activities as well.
Yeah,
it just
lot
seems
of other
like
activities.
It just seems to be asking for trouble. And yeah, I don't want to be a downer. Like, who knows? Maybe things...
I do in this scenario. In this scenario, I would love to be the downer.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a safe move, and I don't think that. Look, let us know at Lockdown Clips if you feel differently, but like, I'm not gonna miss it that much.
I do not care about the All-Star Game. All NBA is much more important in terms of player stuff.
Yeah.
Like, well, you had a great idea about the All-Star Game because they do that weird team stuff now where it's like they're still voted on in conferences.
Yeah, yeah. So they still name All-Stars according to conferences. But then what they have been doing is having two star players, you know, pick their teams. Last year it was Giannis and LeBron. And they even are on the court as Team Giannis and Team LeBron. So why not just have those two players pick the All-Stars?
Yeah, make
like
it real.
Each coach or team captain.
GM, yeah.
Yeah, can select from any number of active NBA players, and those are effectively both their team and the All-Stars.
I like this idea. Hurt people's feelings.
I think that it adds a lot of tension to the whole affair. Like, I mean... Because it's kind of weird if you don't pick a teammate almost, right?
Well, yeah. So, like, LeBron's definitely picking AD. Like, yeah. Kawhi. Dude, Kawhi would be ruthless. Kawhi would just be like, I put together the best team. They'd be like, but you didn't pick Paul George. He'd be like, that's not how my team's constructed. That's just me wanting to play. But, yeah, they don't need the All-Star game. They just definitely also don't need the All-Star game in a place where COVID is still kind of doing its thing.
Yeah, I just circle back to the thing, like I said before, if there's no fans, I don't get who it's for.
Yeah, for sure. We're about out of time. We got to give you a quick reminder. Get those reviews in on Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
To be entered in the raffle for one of 20 limited edition Batum Italian shirts. It's black. It's got a great logo on it. You can see it on at Locked On Clips, designed by Clippers fan and great illustrator Eddie Malden.
Yes.
Yeah, leave a review, like we said, on Apple. People asked us, someone was like, I'm not downloading Apple Podcasts. I was like, that's fine. They're like, can I still get a shirt? I was like, I mean, I hate to be a dick, but no. It's a giveaway. That's the only website you can do reviews on.
Yeah.
Sorry. I wish you could on other ones, just download it and put a review.
Yeah. We are sorry about that, but it really, really helps the show out. And I wish that there were other platforms to review us on. Unfortunately, that is kind of the nature of the beast right now.
Yeah, it's what we got to do. And
we apologize.
Look, the more reviews we get, the more listeners the podcast gets, a little more scratch we get to put together for some more shirts.
Yeah, and once again, like we're hoping that this is just kind of the first of many of these sort of...
We got enough designs.
Yeah, of these sort of
amazing designs from people.
So, yeah, we do feel it for you, though, if you don't want to download the app, but...
Yeah. But you got to get one to win.
To do it.
Yeah. You got to get one to win. Maybe, you know, you have a relative do it or something, pawn it off on them. That counts.
Yeah, that does count.
That absolutely counts. Find someone who has it. Say, hey, I'm actually doing it for this person. Email us at shavings.podcast. Wednesday's episode, preview of the game against the Hawks. Who knows what that's going to look like? Or if it happens, actually.
Yes.
Now that I'm thinking about it. What you say Wednesday, which kind of ask you guys a question, probably going to be COVID related. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these people listen to us but not necessarily review us, which is also totally fine because we appreciate any listens.
We do appreciate the listens once again. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to us on Google Podcasts. You can listen to us on Spotify, on Stitcher, on Deezer. You can even tell your smart speaker to play Locked on Clippers. Once again, thank you so much for listening. We come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, we could not be happier to bring you this Clippers news.
We're psyched. It's gonna be a good time. We can all kind of get together. There's been some Clippers Twitter people talking about get-togethers and things like that, which seems like a very fun time. Thank you all so much. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.